Hi everybody, and welcome back to Sam and Ellie Discuss Things.
Hi.
So happy you came back, and today we are super excited because we have guests for the first time ever. It's no longer just us talking to ourselves. So hello Holly and Astrid, do you want to tell everyone a bit about what you do?
Yeah, so I'm Astrid. I am co-founder of Gals for Environmental and Social Justice, which is a Facebook group that currently has 2.1k Facebook members. And it is a Facebook group that focuses on the environment and social justice and how they interlink and everything in between. Basically as a resource for people who have lots of knowledge on the topic or for people who are beginners and want to know more. I am a Durham University graduate. I graduated in 2019. I did a combined honours degree. So I started very broad and focused on all of Africa and all of the Middle East in terms of politics, history and geography. And by my third year, I had specialised in Northeast Africa in particular. And what really interests me is kind of the intersection between race and gender and climate migration. And so I look at a lot of identity politics, especially in Northeast Africa. And then before the pandemic, I lived in Malawi for a year, which was amazing. And then I had to come back to the UK because of the pandemic. So that is where I currently am.
Nice.
And I'm Holly, and as Astrid said, I'm also co-founder of the group. And yeah, it's a really great space. It's really a nice community I think we've created. And I will say as well, it is a women's specific community, or women's non-binary trans. So it's basically a nice space for women to kind of talk about potentially taboo topics all around sustainability, social justice, because we are acutely aware that these kind of issues disproportionately affect women. So that's why we wanted to make it a little bit more of a women's exclusive space. I graduated from Birmingham in 2020, University of Birmingham, with a history degree, and I love history basically. So apart from sustainability, environmental justice, and this group in general, this is like my big passion. So ask me anything about, like, I don't know, 1920s Britain, and I'll give you a nice succinct answer about what was going on then. But yeah, I'm a big fan of history, love the Aztecs as well. As part of my kind of career now, I guess, I work predominantly with startups in like the green technology sector. I work with a couple of great apps. One is called the Climate App, and then the other is called NOM. And yeah, it really nicely intersects with the group that we have on Facebook as well. So it's a great kind of sector to be in.
Nice.
But yeah, it's really nice to be on the podcast today as well. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, nice to have you guys. Yeah,
thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah.
So obviously it's been like since sort of summer last year that you've started it. Is there anything that you've seen that you think is quite a positive that's come out of the group? Like what's happened so far in it?
I mean, one thing that I mentioned earlier was that it's become like a really nice network for people to meet people who are interested and like-minded, and also to like progress their own like careers and just like their own personal kind of journeys. So people, even though like it's all a digital space on Facebook, obviously we've been kind of restricted by the pandemic, so can't really go out, can't really make friends. But I feel like it's been like a nice substitute to going out and meeting people in the actual world. It's just like meeting people online. So that's kind of my favorite thing to come out of it, is that people have clearly like formed connections that they wouldn't have otherwise formed if they were just kind of like stuck at home in a pandemic without this space. So yeah, just like a really nice place to meet people, virtually meet people. I think that's kind of, yeah, that's my favorite part of the group.
Yeah, I think it's nice as well to have a space with so many girls where you know that on like a very fundamental level they share the same values as you do. And they have the same interests and they care about the same things. Like obviously environmental and social justice is very broad, and you know the things that fall in that, you know, can be very varied, but they are all trying to make the world like a better and more equal place for other people. And I think that that's such a fundamental thing that I definitely value in people, and that, you know, to engage and be part of a group like that, I think you need to kind of value that as well. And so that is very nice to have that space to go if you're feeling a bit hopeless.
Yeah.
Another thing that I have enjoyed seeing that's come out of it on a more like, I guess, is like practical level rather than just like people forming like relationships, is that I really like some of the conversations that people have been having that aren't necessarily comfortable conversations, like talking about different aspects of like intersectional environmentalism, intersectional kind of feminism and stuff like that. And also just like debates that people have been having on the group, but in like a healthy and not kind of mean way. Because everybody, as Astrid just said, everybody's kind of like-minded and they want people to improve their kind of, you know, they want to improve the world and they want to improve other people. So they're not going to tear people that down. So one example we had was, I guess it was kind of recently, maybe a couple of weeks ago, maybe last month, there was kind of a debate about unpaid versus paid work, internships, volunteering, and what people were comfortable with in terms of like seeing advertised on the group. And through that, it was really kind of enlightening for me to see people talk about it, because obviously as a recent graduate, you can kind of fall into this pattern of like unpaid work. And I've definitely like, I have taken on a lot of unpaid work, and obviously this group is completely unpaid. And I mean, I have no problem with that. But there are, I think you have to sometimes ask yourself how much energy you're putting into other people's projects and not necessarily getting that much back from it. So I've just kind of enjoyed seeing people say what they think is acceptable when you're taking on unpaid work and what they think is unacceptable. And from that, we like changed some of the group rules. So we made it quite explicit that if you're going to advertise an unpaid role, you need to make sure that it's listed in the advert, and also try and talk about what people can gain from doing that unpaid work, like the skills and experience, so in lieu of kind of monetary payment, I guess. So yeah, it's just been nice to see people having these sort of debates that are fueled by like healthy conversation.
Because I was saying to Sam a couple of weeks ago, like, I mean, I've always cared about sustainability, but it's only relatively recently that I realised just how important people are in that, and social justice as well. And you just can't have one without the other. But it's like learning how the solutions can combine them both.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely.
So
yeah. And it is really difficult. Like, and you know, I think one of the downsides as well, I guess, to like environmentalism. Like Holly and I have been talking about before, is it can also be damaging for other people. Like it can be very exclusive. Like, for example, the gentrification of secondhand shops, right? Like people, that has become like a sustainable way to shop, which means that more people are doing it, which means that prices go up, and it kind of pushes out the people that need secondhand shops. Mm. And there's so much to get into. Mm. And you really have to pay attention to the social aspect, because you can charge on through with the environmentalism and think that you are doing the right thing, and actually your actions are being quite exclusive to other people.
Yeah.
So, and it's really difficult. Like, that is a really difficult path to navigate and to wade through. And I think it's especially heartbreaking when you think that you are doing the right thing and you think that you are helping. And so I think that is definitely one of the I think I've seen that debate on the group, and I think that is definitely one of the important discussion points that can come up in a group.
There was a big post topic I think Highlight posted about it, about like the gentrification of secondhand clothing. And it's just talking about like the different ways you can kind of go about combating like being like buying into sustainable fashion, but also not causing too much harm to like the people who actually need secondhand clothes and stuff like that. But yeah, like that is such a difficult conversation. And I didn't think I even thought about it until like end of last year, when I just came across an article and I was like, oh my God, like this needs to be talked about a bit more.
Can I actually ask a question? Because I'm someone who doesn't really know much about sustainability, really, in the grand scheme of things. I'm a newbie to the area, and that's why a lot of the time I feel like I am just listening in, and because I'm hearing things, I'm like, really? I had no idea that had such an impact, and you know, it can be quite overwhelming. And I think that's what we like wanted to do this podcast about. Originally, it was because there's a heck of a lot of people out there who either find it too overwhelming to listen or just never considered it, so I don't really know much about it. So I guess our audience is almost like, I guess you could say like the beginners, you know, because we're learning and they come along with us on the journey. But when I saw that question there, it made me think like, yeah, what have you actually changed in your own life? Because even you can be like as environmentally conscious as you possibly can, but there's surely got to always be things that you can change. And I'm just wondering like what things were for you.
That is the thing, is I recognize that so much. Like, it took me, like, everyone's on their own journey to sustainability. Like, it can take so long, because I think that when you start becoming, like, when you make a decision that, like, I am going to be better, like, there's no coming back from that. Like, it's a lifelong dedication, because once you start caring, once you start learning more, you can't stop. Like, stopping is like you've just given up on the world and life and everything around it. Like, it is such a huge decision almost. So I can kind of, like, when I see people, like, obviously everyone knows that the climate crisis is a very real thing that we need to deal with, and there are so many people who are not acting on it. And to some extent, I can kind of understand why they look the other way, because once you start acting, there's no going back.
And it's quite overwhelming, isn't it?
And it's so overwhelming. it really is. And so I think it's so important for people to be able to go at their own pace and to, like, take things one step at a time. And I think that, you know, that you can't be perfect. I think it's so, you know, so quite, I think my thing that I try to live by is that, like, to the best of my ability, I want to live my life in a way that does not harm, like, nature's resources, other humans or animals. But I can't, nobody can 100% do that. I think, like, the main thing the group has given me is, like, very easy access to some of the questions that I have. And, like, I remember in the summer, I spent 3 working days looking for a sunscreen that was affordable, vegan, and environmental friendly. And, like, it's so difficult to find something that fits all those criteria. And now I can just pop it in the group and someone will be like, oh yeah, there's this. You know, there's only so much Googling you can do before you drive yourself insane. And so easy access to answers is definitely, like, I think the thing that I appreciate the most of the group, and also the amount of small businesses. Like, I'm not a huge consumer of stuff, but, like, I am moving house in a few weeks and I will want, you know, some bits and bobs that, like, you know, look nice, as well as stuff that actually has, like, a use. And there are just so many talented girls with small businesses in that group that I feel like anything I need can be in there. And that makes shopping small so much easier. Like, you don't actually have to actively go looking, like, in the big, you know, big bad internet to try to find a solution. Like, you can just pop a question in a group and, like, after 10 minutes you'll have, you know, 5 different people have commented already, like, with different solutions. I think that has been immensely useful.
I think as well,
trying to make it as easy as possible.
I never, like, before this group, I never used to shop from small businesses. I mean, I think I did, like, I used to buy jewelry from a small business and, like, that was kind of it. But now, like, because of this group, I have changed my, when I do shop, I literally always try and go from small businesses, and it's usually always like female led businesses as well. Like, that is something I kind of want to put my money, like, where my values are. And that's what I've done. Like, that's a big change that's kind of come from this group. Like, seeing so many people have so many passions and talents, and I'm just like, I want to support you. And, like, especially at Christmas time as well, we did do a gift guide, which was great. But I was thinking, like, I'm going to be spending money anyway. So, like, why am I going to put it to, I don't know, Amazon or something, when I can get it from one of these lovely women, or, I don't know, just from a local business on my own high street or something? Why would I put my money anywhere else? And I think that's such a great way to, like, give back. Like, that's something I've really enjoyed. It's such a nice feeling. Often, you know, some stuff can be more expensive, depends, like, what you're looking for. Obviously clothes, like, they tend to be quite expensive from small businesses, but very, there's a lot of love that goes into clothes that you get that are made by one person. So it's just been changing. It's changed my shopping habits. And also on like a more kind of emotional level, it's made me kind of gain a bit more faith in humanity, because when, like, as you were saying, like, it can be so overwhelming knowing about all these things that are happening to the environment and the world. It's kind of like being cursed with knowledge, but like not having the ability to do anything and not feeling like anyone is doing anything as well. So you can really sit there, like, after, you know, digesting all this information about the environment and, you know, all the carbon statistics and the predictions for like when we're all going to die, basically. And you can sit there and in your room and just be like, wow, I feel terrible. And that's kind of, you know, you get this whole eco anxiety.
That's me every day.
Yeah.
That's really. So this group has, like, it's just made me have like a nice outlet to put my energy into, rather than just feeling depressed all the time about the situation that, you know, we're in with the climate crisis, and giving me more faith in humanity and just people in general. I just, yeah, that's like a nice little emotional level to talk about the group on. But yeah, like, I think it's so easy to just not think that there's anyone out there who cares, but actually there are so many people who do.
What's kind of the biggest debates that crop up in terms of these impacts on the environment and, like, I guess societal as well? Is there certain things, certain topics that come up again and again and again? Or
I think the debates, the ones that I've, like, obviously mentioned just a minute ago, was like the debate about like paid versus unpaid work, and also like work in general, I think is something that I've seen coming up a lot, not necessarily related to like the environment, but I feel like work is quite an important part of people, like, social justice, because at a fundamental level, like, if you're not being paid for your work, then you kind of aren't able to uplift the voices of those people who also aren't being paid, but in like a different part of the world. And I think that's been like a focus recently, just about work in general. Fashion is also like a big topic that we have had a lot of comments on in the past, I guess, but now, because we've done quite a lot on fashion last year, like, we did 3 events talking about fast fashion, kind of like webinars, and then when the group started, I was definitely more focused on fast fashion, but maybe it's because me and Astrid have kind of like evolved from talking about that, because we know quite a lot about it now, that we don't necessarily start conversations or partake in conversations about fashion as much, because they just, we kind of are aware of them. But I think as debates go, like, it doesn't, there's not like one set topic that comes up a lot, but it is just kind of, yeah, it just sort of depends like what people are interested in talking about, and it has been recently that topic of work. So yeah, I don't know what that says about kind of the world that we live in. I guess everybody is in the same position, struggling for work. Yeah. I do want to say to your like listeners as well, if you are in that position of kind of being like newbies in this like environmental sustainability sector kind of area, then I think it's a great step to just join our Facebook group, especially if you're a woman. And if you like, if you have some stuff to say in it, that's great. And if you just want to kind of sit on the sidelines and like observe, that's nice as well. But I think it's really easy to just get overwhelmed by the amount of knowledge that you have to take in. And because it's all in different places on the internet, having a little Facebook group where there's so many women in there with so much knowledge, that's a great place to kind of start, or just joining any Facebook group that is related to sustainability, like sustainable living, that one I mentioned before. Can't think of any others at the moment, but joining a Facebook group is a really good step to kind of put all of that, like, get all that knowledge collated together so you're not overwhelmed.
And I just thought it'd be like really interesting, actually. I'm springing a question on that wasn't planned, I'm sorry. But basically, is there anything that people listening could do? Like, what would you say the biggest, but also like quite an easy change would be to someone's life, you know, like a difference that you could make in your day-to-day life, in choices that you make almost?
Should we do like one each, Astrid? So we kind of like give one each, so we don't bombard.
Yeah,
them.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
So I think maybe the easiest thing is probably, like I said earlier, just to stop over consuming stuff. And just to, I mean, I guess it's easy to say, And it's kind of easy to do, just like, don't buy it. It's just like when you see maybe kind of unfollowing fast fashion accounts, unfollowing accounts that, you know, businesses that aren't particularly environmentally friendly and are trying to put out this, you know, trendy, like turning over like lots of fashion stuff like this every week. So like unfollowing people that don't promote, like that promote over consumption is probably a really easy step. And then just trying to retrain your brain to be like, you know what? No, I don't need that new trendy top because it's going to be out of fashion in 3 months. And instead, if you actually do, just go on Depop or Vinted or eBay or, I don't know, Spock or anything and get it secondhand because it probably will be cheaper as well, depending on which site you go on. So I think stopping over-consuming by kind of unfollowing those people that aren't promoting your values and downloading some secondhand sites to retrain your brain, I guess. That's my little tip.
Yeah, that's really good.
Nice.
Yeah, I think mine is quite similar as to like when you do need to buy something, try to think critically about who is being affected, who, like, what is the process of this thing that you're buying. Like if a top costs £5, with £5 you cannot pay everyone fairly who has gone into making that top. There are 1.5 million different apps you can use to check various things. We can link them down below, or you know, there are so many helpful apps to help you with this. One that Holly and I really like is Good On You for checking fashion brands. You can just look up any brand and they will give you like a rating, how like environmentally friendly they are, and with labor rights, all that.
And also there's also jumping Astrid, also Greenlight browser extension. I actually spoke to the guy who created that uses all of the Good On You data, but you add it to your actual like browser and then when you go on the website it pops up, so it kind of reminds you. But we'll link that as well. Nice. Also, it's really cool.
Yeah, and it will provide you with, like, if you search H&M, for example, it will obviously tell you that H&M is horrible, but it will then give you alternatives to look at. And also, like, if you just Google or use Ecosia and you just Google, for example, Amazon Alternative UK, there will always be alternatives for the different things that you want that come from smaller or more ethical businesses. It really, I think that people think that it is very difficult, but actually there are, just take it one step at a time, there are really simple solutions that don't require much effort that can be better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also I have another tip, is to drink some oat milk, because if you get some oat milk, you'll know what the hype is about.
Yes,
it's so much better than normal milk, sorry, dairy milk. I don't want to say normal milk because that sort of normalizes that. It's so much better than cow's milk, because it's so creamy and just so much better for the environment and everyone involved. So get yourself some oat milk. That's my more like the tip you can do right now. Go on Tesco.
I definitely agree.
Get some Oatly or Outpro or Cliffia Farms or whatever you
fancy. Oat milk's the love of my life.
Everyone agrees on oat milk. Vegans and non-vegans alike, everybody can understand that oat milk is the winner.
Yeah.
Where do you see things going next with the group? And do you see anything exciting coming out of it? And like, where do you see the direction going in terms of social change?
It would be great to do some stuff in real life. I think I spoke about this before. Doing like actual in-person things would be fab, but I don't know when that's going to happen, or even if, because it's good, because like being online, and because we have quite an international group, and not even just international but like different regions of the UK, it's great that more people have access to the stuff that we're putting out there because it is online. But maybe in future, like after the pandemic, I would love to do some kind of like in-person actual event. But I mean, I wouldn't even know where to begin with that, because I mean, I find it difficult enough to plan like an online event, so I would have no idea. But I mean, I don't really know. Like, I know with some other groups that like are bigger, they have like actually kind of become like full-on this type sorts of businesses that get like invited to fancy dinners. So if anyone wants to like invite us to a fancy dinner as like, you know, the representatives of Girls for Environmental and Social Justice, that would be fab. But I don't know. But I was kind of like interested in starting a podcast, but I don't even know when that would be or if Astrid would be keen to do that. But that could be like one way of going about it. And then I guess just in terms of like social change, I think just kind of, I like kind of how it is at the moment, just people ask, like starting conversations and asking for recommendations and stuff, just about how to live their lives more sustainably. And also kind of taking into account like different accessibility issues. So I kind of like how it's going like at the moment. So I would just like to see that like improved on like a better, maybe slightly bigger scale, because we were at 2.1k members, but you know, if it could get up to like 3, that'd be nice. But we can't really stop the growth, because that would be kind of a bit reductive, wouldn't it? But it'd be nice to see it grow to like a bigger community, but we do like our little mini community.
Yeah, I don't know what to, I fluctuate between these things, because we're not actually actively promoting the group anymore. Mm. Like, we're not gunning for growth. Like, the growth that we have at the minute is all organic, and it has been for quite a few months.
Mm.
Like, we haven't, I think, actively promoted it really.
But did you start off by promoting it like a lot?
Kind of. We sort of were on like different girls' pages, just like, I think we posted in a couple of girls' pages saying like, we've just started this group, anyone interested in sustainability, social justice, kind of join. And then sometimes we'll see, I don't know, people commenting like, I really want to find a group that talks about this, these kind of issues. So we'll comment, but I haven't done that in ages. So that was the only way we promoted it. And it just, I guess it just really worked. Like the algorithm just took, you know, did it all, which is nice.
Well, it's interesting to hear that, because actually just today, as me and Sam have got this podcast, we decided to create our own little group on Facebook. Not to copy you, just because I think I'm quite passionate about food and sustainability specifically, and I think there's a lot of vegan and vegetarian groups, there's a lot of low waste groups and sustainability groups, but when it comes to like food and sustainability together, it's quite, I feel like it's quite niche, and I haven't really seen anything that like ticks all my boxes, so I decided to just create a little group. But maybe we might have to take some of your oh my god, what's the word? Take some inspiration from you and just start commenting on groups, being like, is anyone's interested in food and sustainability?
I
was just going to say that.
Yeah.
We can even link it to our suggested groups as well.
Mm, okay. Yeah, that's been one of the
suggested groups.
Mm. Yeah, I think we link to all the ones that have kind of grown out of our group, if that makes sense, but not like exclusively that, but that have been some offshoots, like a book club and stuff like that, that we don't have anything to do with, but that you know, people from the group have wanted to start, and they've used our group to kind of promote it, and it's largely made up of the same girls.
A swap shop, a cosmetic swap shop.
Oh yeah, swap shop, yes,
as well. I think, I'm not sure if I'm in that, you know. But we do like suggest that as well, because that was part of our, like, that was started. I'm not sure if it was started as like part of our group, or if it was just promoted within it. I think she started it because she saw like a need for it. I think I'm not really in it, so I'm not really sure like what it's about. But it's like, if you have like a full, like, you know, lipstick or something that you haven't used,
It's really good. I think it's like if you have like 70% or 75% left of like a cosmetic, or you know, like a body lotion or shampoo or whatever, and like, you know that you're not going to use it, you can like swap it with someone.
That's good.
And quite ideally, a good idea.
If it's not like dirty or anything as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a good idea, because like, otherwise everything kind of ends up in the bin, doesn't it? We would happily like share your Facebook group.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I quite like the sound of the app, the NOM app as well, because that's a sort of hub of food and sustainability that I think we need.
Yeah,
I think when it comes to food and sustainability, a lot of the information out there is kind of like disjointed and in bits everywhere, and it's like there's no clear place where it's all together. So that's what I've been trying to do with my blog anyway. But
it's difficult as well, because I'm in like a quite a big group as well called Sustainable Living. Maybe you're in that as well. It's called like
75. I think probably am.
Always debates on there about food and sustainability, because obviously a lot of people in there are like vegan, vegetarian. I am vegan as well. A new vegan, but a vegan nonetheless. And there's also people who are like, you know, big advocates of like local meats and stuff and local fish or whatever. And people often get into arguments in there, which I tend to try and stay away from, because I mean, I would get quite heated. I'm trying not to do that anymore. But yeah, there's quite a lot of information that's kind of floating around, like people talking about whether a vegan diet is better for the environment. Or whether it's like local meat and local stuff, and people kind of, I think, get very on either side without necessarily knowing the like actual carbon statistics. And we do know the carbon statistics because me and Astrid both work for the Climate App, which is all like based around like carbon footprint statistics. So if anybody did want to know, we have several climate scientists, and they all point to, like, they all tell us that the data is always pointing towards a vegan diet being more environmentally friendly. So that's kind of where that line falls.
And the Climate App, is that all food or is that everything?
Everything.
That's like everything. So that's the other app that we kind of both work for. And Climate App in general is going to be like a little sort of carbon cutting based social media. So we'll have like challenges on there, like Duolingo style challenges that will help you kind of say like go vegan for a week, or I don't know, quit fast fashion, stuff like that. And you can track the challenges, and the challenges like progress gets shared to your like feed, which is kind of like Instagram, Facebook, and then your friends can see on that feed, so you can add people on it. And then it's basically like positive peer pressure, like leveraging that positive peer pressure to get people to make small changes, because it doesn't work if you just tell someone to do something or like, you know, ram it down their throats and be like, get vegan. But if you see like your friend is doing a vegan challenge, then they might be like, oh, I'll give that a go, like in a little sort of a healthy competition way. So it's a really good app as well. It's nearly kind of ready. I think I spoke to the founder, I think he said like June.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, but
I'll be checking it out. I'm dragging you into a food conversation here, and I feel like your area of expertise is fast fashion. So I was going to ask if there's anything you wanted to tell us about fast fashion, because I, for one, am not an expert in that field, and it would be interesting to learn a little bit more when it comes to social and environmental considerations.
Yeah, Astrid, do you want to go first? Because I've talked a little bit about food, I need to kind of recollect.
Yeah, I think fashion is a very good example of where the climate crisis intersects with social justice. You can kind of look within social justice and like fast fashion, you can look at gender and race and class, especially, I think, as examples of where people are very unfairly treated. And fashion is the second biggest polluter in the world after the oil industry. So there's kind of the environmental aspect of fashion. I think, what is it, Holly? Is it 80% of garment workers are female?
So yeah. I don't know if how, like, the massive, like the actual statistic of how many garment workers are female. I think it's like 3/4. But it is, I have got a statistic here that says 40 million people live in modern slavery, and 71% of those are female. And that largely is like part of fashion industries. Because when we say modern slavery as well, it doesn't necessarily just kind of mean one type of slavery. It's like forced labor or kind of like debt bondage, forced marriage, or like human trafficking or child labor as well. So like there's lots of different aspects of slavery that isn't just kind of like the traditional people just not getting paid and kind of like chained up. It's very nuanced. But yeah, 71% of modern slaves are female, and not, I mean, there's, you kind of think, oh, it's just all taking place in the global south, but so many people are in conditions of modern slavery in like the UK and the US, in like just the Western world in general. It's not an issue that is just put on the global south, and it's all kind of driven by overconsumption and kind of this like this idea that we need to give, that like they are it's better for them to have these jobs that kind of don't respect their human rights rather than no jobs at all. Like, that always seems to be the debate that I see. People saying, oh, you know, at least they have a job, where actually that shouldn't even be the thing that we go back on. It should be like, no, they shouldn't have, this is not a job, this is like a terrible condition for a human to be in. We should be fighting for them to actually get paid employment that actually respects them as human beings, mm-hmm. and not just kind of workers to just be there to kind of fuel this need we have for like dresses and tops, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and that are totally unnecessary as well. It's really like a massive issue for women and women of color, and women kind of all over the world. I really hate fast fashion. And when we say fast fashion as well, we should point out that it doesn't just mean like, you know, the cheap stuff. We kind of mean like fast luxury as well. Like all of these, or most of these brands that you see, I'm not going to like name any particularly, but most designer brands you will see will also be largely produced in the same factories, probably like the exact same factory as you're getting an ASOS top from. You'll get like, I don't know, a Dior top, I don't know what designer stuff, mate. Dior like dress from or something. You can tell I don't really buy stuff, so I have no idea. But yeah, like it's not just like cheap fast fashion, it's the luxury fast fashion. And I find that kind of more sickening, because the luxury fast fashion, they're producing stuff like, so it's so much more expensive, so they obviously have the money to pay workers and like to pay everyone in their supply chain. They just don't, and they just hoard more wealth, which I find even worse than like charging, you know, 10p for a garment, because like they just are clearly not putting that money back into good practices. And also the people mm-hmm. who buy from that have enough money to buy from sustainable brands that aren't accessible to like the average consumer, and yet they still choose to put their money into something that's kind of like profiting off slavery and also like animal abuse and just all these horrible things. So it's not ideal.
So my guess would be like the solution would be to buy from brands that are a lot more fair trade in a way, and a lot more ethical in terms of like the distribution of the profits. But do you have any other like things where you would say there's a better solution, or do you think that's the way to go?
I think the ideal solution is to consume less.
Yeah. Always,
where possible, to consume less. There are some things that you can't stop consuming, like food. Mm-hmm. But with clothing, actually, the amount of clothing we throw away each year is ridiculous. And gunning more for a circular economy, with everything, but taking fashion as an example here, is like the absolute best way to stop the harmful impacts, both social and environmental.
In an ideal world, all these people in these countries that are creating this fast fashion now would just switch around to just be ones that upcycle clothes.
I agree with Astrid's point, like we should just all like focus on consuming less, and consuming secondhand I think is the best solution. Sometimes like there are, obviously we talked about the limits of secondhand shopping, size inclusivity, that's a massive issue. And also there are some things you might not want to consume secondhand, like socks and pants and stuff like that. So then where possible, it's always good to kind of go for more sustainable brands, so like Organic Basics, Alexander Clementine, they post a lot, they do pants and bras and stuff. And then just like, I can't think of any more off the top of my head, but just kind of sustainable brands that are actually focused on reducing their environmental impact, especially for like essential clothing. Because like you don't really, I've never seen a pair of pants in a charity shop, basically. So I'm assuming I don't want to know like what a pair of pants would be doing in a charity shop, but yeah, I think most people actually consume those like to the amount that they like until they kind of break, basically. But yeah, like there are certain aspects that we can't necessarily do without in fast, like in fashion and clothing, but choosing secondhand where possible all the time is the best, because at the minute there's like a billion items of clothing being produced every single year by the fashion sector. And I have seen a statistic that says we have enough clothing to last for 3 generations of humans. So that's like, what, 100 years, something like that? Over 100 years, I don't know. So we literally, if the world just kind of stopped producing clothing now, we would have enough. And like, I know personally, I would have enough clothing to see me through to whenever, because we consume so much in the kind of Western world. And there's just absolutely no reason for it. And if we also if the clothing industry just kind of stopped, that would have such an amazing knock-on effect for the environment, because the fashion sector produces like 5% of all the world's greenhouse gases, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it actually is equivalent to the emissions produced by the whole aviation industry or the whole country of Russia, which I think is a great fact. So literally the whole country of Russia is producing the same amount of emissions. So let's stop. This is my sign to the world. Stop.
Let's all just chill out and stop buying clothes.
Let me just stop. That's like the biggest tip and the biggest bit of advice that I live by. Like, literally just stop buying stuff. So yeah.
Nice.
Do you think the biggest issue with fashion in terms of sustainability is the seasonality of it all? Because, you know, fashion houses come out every season with like a completely new like look, which then gets copied by high street, and it almost makes that thing that you bought a couple of months ago redundant completely. Whereas, you know, you don't really get that in a lot of other industries.
Yeah, definitely. Like it's all like, I guess, to do with our like psychology of just like wanting something new. Like if we see it advertised by someone that we like, we're just going to want that. And it's just this like playing into kind of this weakness that we all have, which is like, oh, I really want that on that top, or I really want that, like, I don't know, pair of jeans that then goes out of style, because that's kind of what all the sort of basic fashion, fast fashion ones like Boohoo and Pretty Little Thing and stuff, they kind of survive on, this really like impermanent piece of clothing that it's not gonna last. Like, I remember when everyone was wearing like Milkmaid type tops, weren't they, like last summer, like just these like really big like flowing material bits. And like when there was like a big craze of like having a bit of material like wrapped around your waist, like a top that was just all like straps, like that is just not practical. And you can tell when you see things like this that they're not going to last, like stand the test of time, but yet like we want them, because we have this kind of weird part of our, I don't know, brain that just goes right now.
Do you follow Venetia Lamana, she's called? I feel like her.
Yeah, I do follow her. I always end up like quoting a lot of her stuff every time I kind of like talk about fast fashion or write about fast fashion. Always quoting her stuff, because she writes a lot of really interesting stuff, and kind of she does quite a lot of big investigations into clothing companies as well, which I find really kind of brave.
She's quite out there, isn't she?
Yeah. And also Ella De Castro as well. I've actually spoken to her via email, and she's really nice. She founded
Fashion Revolution.
Yeah, she's like just so cool. I think her and like Venetia Lamana are like the ones that I kind of follow most about fast fashion. I think
Asola has a new book out, I think.
She does, actually.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called, but it's like lovely. Something, but yeah, also Linda Castro has a new book out. If anyone wants to know anything else,
shout out.
That's to great, nice one. Or just like on the internet, just type in fast fashion facts, or on one of our events from our group. That's some really, there's a lot of information about fast fashion that we got through in the event that we did. Maybe I can like send them to you, and you can maybe link them. And do you have like a podcast? Yeah. Information page?
Yes, we do. We have a collection on.
Oh,
Sam, do you want to explain what it is?
Yeah, so we actually use I actually work for a startup I mentioned on the last call we did. But you just put links in it, and we put that link into the collection and then put the collection into the description, so it's all nice and like cohesive.
Right. So anything you've mentioned that you want us to link, we'll put in, and if I've missed it, like, just send anything. And that was such a great conversation. I feel like we've all got loads out of it, and it's been just really nice to discuss loads of things when it comes to just social and environmental change, and like the positive ways we can approach it rather than just getting stressed about it all. And like, the group sounds like amazing. It sounds like so beneficial, and you can get loads out of being in it. So we'll definitely put a link to it in the Wakelet collection, and anything else that you've mentioned as well. And feel free to send us anything you think we could put in. Anyone who's listening to this, join the group. And also join mine and Sam's group if you're interested in food and sustainability particularly. Thanks for coming on, guys. It was really great having you as our first guests. I feel like it was very successful, went really well. And we had a good time.
It's been a great time.
Pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us. It's been really nice. I've really liked the conversations.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I just love as well, people are really going to take away some things. Like that they can actually like do.
I hope so.
That's the best.
Yeah. I hope so, yeah. And if not, ask in the Facebook group.
Yeah.
There'll be plenty of people to help.
Yeah. Or even just like feel like there's other people out there who feel the same as them.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. I absolutely. So. Yeah.